Middle East on the brink. North Korea on the brink. Iran increasing its aggression. Elections in Taiwan. Look, there's a lot of global instability as we ourselves plunge into primary season. How have you sheltered your savings and investments from potential major setbacks to the economy? You think it can happen here? It can happen here, but it's not too late to diversify an old IRA or 401k into gold. And Birch Gold Group can help you with that. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. As opposed to many other investments, gold thrives in times of uncertainty. It is an important part of diversifying your savings. Now listen, here's how Birch Gold can help make it a part of yours. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. And it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. You want to learn more? Just text SAVAGE to 989898 for a free info kit. S-A-V-A-G-E, text it to 989898 and you get a free info kit. It costs you nothing. Just text SAVAGE to 989898. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, and thousands of happy customers, I encourage you to arm yourself with the knowledge of diversification through precious metals. Protect yourself. Text SAVAGE to 989898 and claim your free info kit. Protect your savings with gold. Do it now. Text SAVAGE to 989898. Thank you very much. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. Text SAVAGE to 989898.
Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the free version of the Michael Savage podcast, and I'm going to keep it free for all of you. But there are many of you who would love to be able to listen to my show without any ads. I love ads, but many of you want to listen to the podcast free of ads. So we created something for you, a solution. We call it the Savage Premium. For less than the price of one flat, tasteless beer at your local bar, you can receive access to all of my podcasts going back years ad-free for just $3.99. That's it, $3.99 a month. You'll get not only my ad-free podcast, but you will also occasionally receive access to material that is exclusive for members only, and I'm going to give you the list in a minute of what you've missed. You're going to get an occasional monologue from me, maybe a reading from one of my novels, sneak peeks of interviews before anyone else hears them, archive pieces dating back to 1994. Many things that come up, you're going to get exclusive access to Michael Savage material. Details can be seen on my website, michaelsavage.com, and if you want to join, all you got to do is go to glow.fm and search Savage Premium. That's glow.fm and search Savage Premium. Now, you will always have access to my free weekly podcast. I want to be clear about that. That's my promise to you. But if you want less ads and more Savage, join the Savage Premium Club today and never miss a spoken word of mine. It's glow.fm/Savage Premium. You can find it on michaelsavage.com. And here's some of the stuff that you have missed so far. Michael Savage reading from his best-selling novel, Countdown to Mecca. My words, my voice. Savage reads from one of his lost journals, Fiji, 1968. Savage's first drive-time show, Hour One. My interview with the Jewish gangster, very popular. I read from my first written published article, Who Is at the Helm, from 1965. It's heard nowhere but on my premium site. I read passages from my novel, Abuse of Power. We replayed Fat Al's Tuna. My Savage show from 324.94, the earliest show in the archive, 324.94. My interview with Donald Trump from 110.2011. 110.2011, while Mark Levin was mocking him and Sean Hannity was mocking him and the others were mocking him, I was interviewing Trump. Much more. And remember, subscribers also get ad-free podcasts every week. The cost is less than a beer at a bar, and you get a better buzz with the Savage Premium. So go to glow.fm/Savage Premium for full access to ad-free podcasts and exclusive sound you'll not hear anywhere else. Thank you very much. You have to hand it to the left. They have made the word nationalism to equal fascism, which of course it does not. Fact of the matter is, nationalism is what made America America. Nationalism is what makes every nation great. Now, of course, there are those who take nationalism to another, into another area, such as National Socialism under Adolf Hitler. But I ask you, how different is the National Socialism of Bernie Sanders' occasional cortex and, of course, the stooge Joe Biden? Is it really National Socialism? No. What they're running in America now is International Socialism, melting our borders, destroying our nationalism, making us into nothing, destroying everything that made America great in as fast a time as they can. So I want to say that the only way to preserve this nation, and the absolutely only way to preserve this nation, absolutely 100% only way to preserve this nation, is through a democratic nationalism. It does not matter whether you are black, white, whether you come from Europe, Central America, or Asia. Only nationalism can save this nation. We are all children of God, and we can all be embraced by American nationalism. Did you hear what I just said? That is the pillar of our national identity, borders, language, and culture. We must love our nation. We must be loyal to our nation. We must remember those who came before us, who have permitted us the freedoms that we enjoy today, for me to do this podcast and for you to listen to this podcast. You have been betrayed by Joe Biden. You have been betrayed because that old fool has been steered so far left into international socialism by Bernie Sanders and the other fascists who have programmed you to believe that they are Democrat socialists. There's no such thing. They told you that our nation is just an artificial construct. They told you that America is fake. The progressives have told you that America is evil. This is pure treason. If we had a new hearing on the order of HUAC, you would know the rest of that story. But I don't want to go into that right now. I want to talk about how to save America. In my previous books, I had written, for example, in Government Zero, that our nation is in danger from two forces, liberals and their progressive agenda, and radical Islamists with their murderous visions of jihad. And I said to you that each group is working towards similar ends to destroy Western civilization and remake it in their own respective images of socialism for one side and Sharia law for the other. But today the situation is far more dire. We are not just being ripped apart by domestic terrorists on the left, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and other groups. We are seeing pockets of our once great nation descending into anarchy. Inspired by President Biden and an attorney general who openly declared people who speak out against their form of totalitarianism as domestic extremists, Western civilization itself is faltering. The end of our nation is no longer a vision for enemies within and without. It is operational. They are doing it. The hateful, deceitful, misguided policies of Biden and the Attorney General, being driven by that foul-breathed, hideous, disgusting creature, Bernie Sanders, that fear-mongering monster who has contempt for success and tradition, with the manufactured cry of diversity that they use to divide and erode this once great nation. But really their only goal is to consolidate power forever in their corrupt oligarchy and steal as much money as they can along the way. Do you actually think that the infrastructure deal is going to see new roads, bridges, and tunnels built? Well, you will. You'll see some new roads, tunnels, and bridges. But who will get the contracts? Huh? You haven't figured that out yet? No bid contracts? On the order of the solar factories that were built under Nancy Pelosi. So where do we go? We had a glimmer of hope with the unprecedented rise of Donald Trump. He was the spearhead of this rebellion. The fact of the matter is, the entrenched socialist establishment has now taken control of the wheel of the ship of state, and we are being steered onto rocks from which we may not recover. What I'm going to do for you today is revisit some ideas I had in the past in a modified way. At the end of my books, in the past, I gave solutions to save America. For example, in the back of Government Zero, which was published, oh, that was a great book. Government Zero was great. That's where I taught you about the Vostok ice core samples. It was published by Hachette in 2015. I talked about zero leadership, zero strategy against ISIS, zero military, zero education, zero culture, zero immigration, zero religion, Lenin's Pope, zero science, and I taught you about Lysenkoism. I asked, where's the warming? And I taught you how real science works. I talked about zero business sense. This was all under Obama, how they tried to destroy the dollar with trade treason. Zero liberty. And I said we can only save a nation with nationalism. And I'm going to revisit that for a couple of reasons, because it's more true today than it was then. The fact of the matter is we're being lied to. You think that Mitch McConnell cares about America? He's the one who had those 13 traitors vote along with Biden and save Biden's skin with the infrastructure deal. We got nothing out of that. And what about NAFTA 20 years ago under Bill Clinton? All I did was open up roadways. You ask the cartel themselves. They've openly boasted about it. I called it the North American Free Traffickers Association. You can thank all the leadership for that. That was Bush. That was Clinton. NAFTA, are you joking? So how do we save this nation? Traditional conservatives were nationalists. From Alexander Hamilton and Henry Clay to Abraham Lincoln, conservatives have always staunchly believed in economic policies that were best for America. When the Republican Party was born, its platform included higher taxes. Did you know that? Lincoln was a former Whig who believed in high tariffs to protect American business from longer established foreign competition. Lincoln and the Republicans also believed the government had a responsibility to provide the infrastructure necessary for a modern economy to flourish. Did you know that? And Lincoln wanted to subsidize roads, railroads, and other infrastructure. Now, contrast that with the Republican reaction to the various disasters that we have seen in this nation. A nationalist candidate, if we could ever have one, would recognize there is a very specific role for the government, and it is not to centrally plan or control every aspect of economic activity, as the progressives believe, as FDR did. It is not to redistribute wealth. It is to maintain an environment in which a market economy can operate and provide the public goods needed to maximize the efficiency of that economy. It is to protect we the people from foreign powers buying and selling our infrastructure, transporting our manufacturing base, and dumping cheap goods on us to drive small and medium-sized business into bankruptcy, permitting only mega corporations and the government to operate businesses. What we are seeing is the emergence not of an infrastructure deal, but of total corruption, both for the Republicans who voted for the deal and all the Democrats, of course. It is not even pure progressivism. True nationalist conservatives shouldn't be arguing that we don't need any government infrastructure. We need honest government, like the kind that built America, we're now letting fall into disrepair. And so, what I want you to understand is, there are even nationalist liberals, people who love this nation, and they have nowhere to turn. They understand what Biden is doing. They understand that we need a nationalist foreign policy to survive. They don't want to sacrifice this nation. And so, as I said to you before, in Government Zero, I presented 40 actions to save America. I could think of thousands now that would spring from a nationalist movement to save this nation. I proposed many over the years. Not all of them have to do with federal government. Some should be accomplished by the state or local levels. Some should be accomplished outside of any governments at all. There is much that we can do in the private sector with the choices we make and with the power we have over those who want to influence our choices for the future. Number one, start a nationalist party. Right now we have a charade of a two-party system, a shell game with no peas under either shell. As we have seen with Pelosi and McConnell, we have an oligarchy running America. We voted in conservatives and they were put at the back of the bus. Conservative has become meaningless. Remember that. The word conservative itself is a turnoff to millions of people. It has no meaning whatsoever. A nationalist party would attract disaffected members from both parties and tip the balance of power back to we, the people.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And we are back. I'm going to give you some actions to save America. We'll see how far we can go today. Close the borders completely for 7 years. We must stop the flood of illegal immigrants into America. We also must deport all illegal aliens, first those in American prisons, and then those that Obama flooded into America in the middle of the night. We must repeal the Anchor Babies Law. We must make English the official language of the United States. We must require government-issued identification to vote. This is a no-brainer. It doesn't guarantee the voter is a citizen, but at least it confirms that he or she is alive. Dead voters overwhelmingly vote progressive. Introduce in our schools civics classes, not transgender classes. Reintroduce civics classes to elementary and secondary schools. We need to teach our children the history and meaning of America's founding fathers, founding documents, and founding principles. This knowledge should also be required in all citizenship tests. We must restore physical standards in the military. We must restructure military spending. We must continue to repair our relations with Russia before a nuclear war is unleashed by a Biden. We must allow profiling in security investigations. We must close all tax loopholes for the trillionaires, not the billionaires. How come it is that companies like the ones that Musk and Bill Gates own pay almost no taxes? How is that possible? We must fund all climate science research and include the skeptics of climate change. We must withdraw from NAFTA. It has benefited no one but multinational corporations. We must narrow the Federal Reserve's mandate to a strong dollar and stable prices. Right now, the Federal Reserve is a joke. We must end the H-1B visa program. That's benefiting very, very few. Mark Zuckerberg and those in social media love the H-1B visa program. We must institute a flat tax immediately. Right now, almost half of U.S. citizens pay no income tax at all, while the other half pays progressively more as they become more successful. This is unfair and counterproductive. A 15% flat tax on everyone means everyone pays their fair share, Bernie. A fair share would be 15% flat tax on everyone. It would also eliminate myriad loopholes for all sorts of special interests, including social media, mega giants, corporate America, and Hollywood. We must reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act. It prohibited commercial banks from also operating an investment bank. Its repeal in 1999 was a key factor in the housing meltdown. Here's one regulation that actually helped restore the Glass-Steagall Act. Reinstate the Wall Street uptick rule. It's too complicated for me to explain to you right now, but it needs to be reinstated. It's in my book, Government Zero. We must institute tort reform and rein in the psychotic, verminous lawyers and ridiculously disproportionate awards which drive up medical expenses. Have you seen all those ads for lawsuits on television? These are all gangsters. States should cap medical liability at $250,000 per claim. This is one thing my home state of California did right, and it worked. We must eliminate government employee pensions. The pension is an outdated concept that never really worked. No one in the private sector is guaranteed a pension by their employer. Why should government employees receive them? Existing pensions must be renegotiated to reflect economic reality. We must end affirmative action. It is racism, pure and simple. We've had a black president, black cabinet members from both parties, a black chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, black CEOs of Fortune 100 corporations, and many black billionaires. None of these people achieved their success through affirmative action. Affirmative action is racism defined, as it assumes people of color need special privileges to make it. Clearly, black Americans have proved they don't. Asian Americans certainly don't need affirmative action. It is time to kill affirmative action. Defund federal unemployment benefits. They should be provided by private insurers in state markets. Seriously limit welfare benefits. End bulk collection of data by the U.S. government on the NSA. Make all state universities and colleges free speech zones. Colleges and universities have become brainwashing centers for the socialist left, where no dissenting speech is permitted. Restore freedom of religion in the military. Stop persecuting qualified officers and soldiers for their religious beliefs. End the war against Christianity in the military. Restore religious freedom in schools. The First Amendment guarantees freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. No religion should be officially promoted in schools, but students and teachers should be free to talk about their religious beliefs without imposing them on others. Defend freedom of the press. Right now, there is almost no diversity in the press. What else is necessary to save America? Well, you can fill in the blanks. I've given you some of the liberties that need to be done. But this list is only a beginning. It is a jumping off point from which to launch a democratic nationalist movement to restore the America that was the light of the world and build an even better one for the future. I'm Michael Savage. If you have enjoyed this monologue, which precedes the rest of this podcast, I need your help. I need you to share it with five other people. If you want this podcast to continue into 2022, you have to do some work. Thank you for listening.
The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Right now, the country is being torn in pieces in an epic battle between, I would say, the socialists and the nationalists, to make it quite simplistic but quite accurate. Right now, this country is morally destitute. Now, it is true that the economy, which is false, is booming, and most people don't care what the hell is going on. 100 million people are not working. And there is a battle going on amongst those of us who yearn for a real America, a return to a real America, and those who would like to overthrow everything and turn it into a socialist nightmare of the type that we have seen in many failed nations around the world. And there are solutions to this. There are many solutions to this. We have the fallacy of international Marxism being promoted by the vermin in the media, the fallacy of pacifism being promoted by feminists and homosexuals, While they themselves are anything but pacifists, they are the most aggressive people I have ever seen. We have the eternal class war that has been going on for ages. And we have a stalemate between the nationalists and the socialists on a national level. The left right now is being run by a weakling, an incompetent, a nightmarish figure of Joe Biden, surrounded by some of the most vicious people in American political history, who are stripping America of everything but the graves of our war dead. They have not yet gotten around to breaking the crosses off the war memorials. Although I saw a bit of that when I was on the board of the Presidio Trust, I saw their faces. I know what they would like to do to the War Memorial Cemetery at the Presidio. I'd like to spend a lot of time talking about patriotism and national pride, which are the only things that can save this country. The fact of the matter is, most people do not understand that the communists and socialists who are disrupting American traditions at virtually every turn, have a sinister motive behind it. And it has nothing to do with anti-racism or equity or equality. It has to do with the complete destruction of the United States of America. And so where do we go from here? Am I going to lead this new nationalism that I envision towards this new nationalism? No, I'm not going to lead it. I've been thinking about it in great detail. What is missing in this country is a great leader of nationalism who is not a racist, a great leader of America who can unite those amongst us who love this nation and its traditions, and those who would like to tear us apart, again, on the fallacy of Marxism and pacifism, those of us who would like to turn us into a completely failed socialist nation. But the other side is winning, I'm sorry to tell you. When have you last heard a major figure in this country go on about patriotism and national pride other than Donald Trump? Have you heard one mealy-mouthed Republican in recent months dwell on patriotism and national pride? No. They've all been beaten into a corner. They're afraid of being called racists or anything else that the vermin on the left can throw upon them. Those who would like to disrupt American tradition, the sinister ones in the media, the sinister ones elsewhere, who thrust at us at every turn and try to turn us into figures that we are very far from. And so we are waiting for a new leader to emerge who can unite us in our passions, bring together all of the disparate folks on our side who are clamoring for someone to save this nation before it is too late. But when we wake up each day and we see a weakling for a president who is clearly senile, falling apart, surrounded by vicious people, trying to impose guilt upon white people with the fallacy of racism, the fallacy of pacifism, when they are absolutely the most aggressive people I've ever seen, I'm afraid that we are waiting for a leader who has not yet emerged. And this leader, who has not yet emerged, is the only one who can save us. And I do not see this leader on the horizon. I'll be right back. This is Michael Savage trying to put together a cogent treatise on the new nationalism.
The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
We recently saw a rapper on stage inciting a riot, encouraging his idiotic, moronic, degenerate, drugged out fans to rush the stage. And then, of course, a number of people died. And right now, the vermin in the media are covering for him because A, he is black, B, he's a rapper, and C, he's, well, not a white male. Now, could you imagine if eight people died at a Trump rally or at a MAGA rally, what the people in the media that you love so much would be saying? Now, I never went to a concert, To me, when I grew up, a concert meant a classical concert at Lincoln Center. Well, of course, things change. I understood that rock concerts emerged, and I came to accept that a concert could be more than Stravinsky. I understand all of that, but I never went to any of these things because I knew basically they were Woodstock-type, drug-fueled celebrations of degeneracy. Now, I never went to a Burning Man festival in my life, not once. I didn't go to Woodstock. My idea of fun wasn't lying around in the dirt smoking marijuana or taking LSD or other drugs, so I didn't go. To me, a concert was something different. But every year I look in the newspapers and watch TV and I read about celebrities and tech executives with luxury camps flocking to Burning Man. Now, what is the value of going to an event where people walk around stoned out of their minds? Why does anyone go to the desert to an event where everyone gets stoned and drugged with tattoos on their noses, tattoos on their eyeballs? What is this? Is there something wrong with me because I don't go to an event like this or find it revolting? Or to the rap concerts performed by the lowest form of humanity? I don't care how much money they make. It means nothing to me. What are these concerts? What is Burning Man? Idiots in the desert? Idiots at concerts wearing idiotic costumes while stoned? But let's get back to the recent concert where 8 people died and more will probably die. He was burning an effigy on the stage. Now, if this isn't biblical, I don't know what is. They were burning effigies on the stage and inciting the crowd to riot. Now, this is what the Bible warned us about. The Bible warned us about the worship of false gods. It's the epitome of paganism. And why do people go to these concerts? Because they don't believe in religion, they don't believe in God. This is what has replaced it, so-called concerts by devil worshipers. Well, they go to have a good time. But what is the good time about? Well, they call it concerts or festivals. What are they? Well, what they are is filled with people who are stoned, people who believe that God is crazy, people who believe that anyone who believes in God is crazy, a fantasist, a lunatic, and out of touch with reality. Only they who go to these so-called concerts know reality. But if I tell you that concerts of this nature are directly related to the biblical teaching, you'd have to understand that Exodus 24:4 in the original Jewish Bible says the following: Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, unquote. And yet that rap creature had on the stage wooden effigies and was burning them. That's exactly what the Bible warned against, that these are the end of days. That's what people who are religious believe. And when you see things like this, you have to understand where we are in time. So the degenerate cities like San Francisco, where Nancy Pelosi says a parade of gay fanatics in leather who beat each other on stages and on floats is part of Nancy's value system. And she goes to visit the Pope, tells you who the Pope is, where men whip each other with whips in public, and Nancy Pelosi calls it wholesome. These people are the antithesis of what the Bible teaches us. And this is where there is a split in America between those of us who see what this is and those of us who don't see what this is. It is between those of us who say, as George Orwell said, the more people chant about their freedom and how free they are, the more loudly I hear the chains rattling. That is what I see at concerts. That is what I see in the sick city of San Francisco. The larger the number of nose rings, the more chains I hear rattling. The more they scream about how free they are and how uptight we are, the more I know that they are the slaves. And the more I see people flocking to such concerts, the more I know America is degenerating into the house of bondage, because that is absolutely an example of bondage. Deuteronomy 32:17 says, they sacrificed unto demons, no gods, gods that they knew not. New gods that came up of late, which your fathers dreaded not, unquote. All of you who are going into these concerts, or your children who go to these concerts, realize where you are going. You are going into hell itself. I'm Michael Savage, talking about the heathen concerts that are now going on in the United States of America and around the world.
Home of borders, language, culture, the Savage Nation.
The day the internet died, Northern California was in decline for many, many years. between the bums in the streets, the crime. It was hard to believe a city that had once been so beautiful had degenerated so rapidly, but he had seen this coming. He saw the corruption of Nancy Pelosi. He saw the corruption of Dianne Feinstein. He saw the corruption of the mayors. He saw the corruption of the supervisors. And he tried to warn the people, but the people were immune. The people called him every name under the sun, fascist, racist. Eventually, they all realized that they were wrong and he was right, but the city had fallen so fast, so far, they couldn't even reckon what had happened to them, nor did they know who to blame. Of course, they should have blamed themselves, because he had told them for decades now that ultra-tolerance would kill them. Once you start tolerating anything, you'll start to tolerate everything. It started with gay rights. That wasn't enough. Then it became gay marriage. Then anyone who opposed gay marriage was considered a homophobe. Then when they got gay marriage, it became transgender rights. Then when that was not good enough for the far-left socialists, they changed it to something else. Everything was a new iteration of the same game. And it wasn't really socialism versus nationalism. It was the destruction of civilization itself that was emerging, not only in Northern California, but across liberal cities, if not the United States itself, with the arrival on the scene of the most incompetent, senile president imaginable, Joe Biden. And so he stayed home that day because he couldn't go anywhere. There was no internet. He realized that without the internet, he couldn't even watch television. He couldn't watch the news. He couldn't watch the History Channel. He couldn't watch a cooking show. He couldn't go on his iPhone and do a cooking show for his audience, meaning me. I'm doing third person, first person. And so he resorted to what he had done for ages, which was read. He did not have a large library in the house in which he was residing at the time. But strangely enough, about a week before, he had gone through some dusty old files and found some odd books that he was about to throw in the garbage, amongst which was one called Hitler, The Missing Years, by a man named Putzi Hanfstaengl, Hanfstaengl. And someone named Alan Bullock writes, in all the memoirs of the Nazi period I've read, I do not remember any which are so successful in giving a credible picture of Hitler as a man. Now, he didn't know where he had gotten this book. The dust jacket was ripped. It was published by a very small publisher named Eyre and Spottiswood way back when. It said 30 shillings net, a British publication. And a note fell out of it, said, "I think you would enjoy this, doctor. I just finished it." And it came from somebody who didn't even know it. It must have been somebody 20 years ago. And what it was a book about Hitler's rise to power from before the abortive Munich putsch of 1923 to his final triumph when he became chancellor. The years when the seeds of his later deterioration were sown in his character. To this, the author, Dr. Hanfstaengl, is a witness of the utmost importance, for not only were his relations with Hitler close until Hitler came to power, and after that he still was the Nazi Party's foreign press chief until his escape to Switzerland in 1937, but he was also one of the few members of the entourage who was able to back his observation with the judgment of an educated man of the world. So he started to read the book, and he was astonished by it. Ernst Putzi Hanfstaengl, an aristocrat, had come to know Hitler when Hitler was a minor provincial political agitator, a frustrated ex-serviceman, awkward in a blue serge suit. He looked like a suburban hairdresser on his day off. His chief claim to notice was his golden voice and his transcendent powers as an orator on the platform of one of his party meetings. Even then, he was so little regarded that the sparse reports in the press did not even spell his name right. It's an amazing story, and what it tells is the emergence of this marginal figure, Hitler, at a time that Germany was being torn apart by a battle between the left, meaning the socialists, versus the right, the nationalists. And what I, Michael Savage, have come to take from this book is that we are witness to history emerging in America again along the same lines.
The only difference is we do not have a figure on the right who can, let us say, bring the people together to save the nation from the internationalists or socialists who stand for nothing except the destruction of everything about America, leaving only the war memorials for as long as we still have them, which they have not yet torn down. They have not yet broken the crosses off the war memorials in the memorial cemeteries, which I wrote 30 years ago, but they will. The very same garbage, vermin, rats, the ACLU, who are suing the American people today to give each border jumper, each illegal alien, $450,000 to reward them for having snuck into America. The very same Anthony Romero, there is a name behind the ACLU, a man who has a burning desire to burn the nation to the ground, in my opinion. This Romero, I have studied for years. This is the man behind the ACLU. This is the man behind the most destructive organization in American history. This is a man behind an organization more powerful than either of the two parties, because it was not elected. It does not answer to the people. It answers only to the fanatics who send the money, some of whom know that the ACLU stands for the decimation of the nation, and many who think that they're just doing good to protect oppressed peoples, oppressed minorities. But there is a name. The name is Anthony Romero. He is suing America for $450,000 for each illegal alien who snuck into America, whose child was separated from them, irrespective of whether the child was theirs or not. He couldn't believe that this was actually happening. He couldn't believe he had a president named Biden who said, that's garbage. The next day said, it's not garbage. Whatever the so-called Justice Department decides to do with them, I will agree to. Biden said he has no power over the Justice Department, which is utter rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Of course he can stop them. Of course he can stop that fanatic from Harvard who's the head of the Justice Department, who has sicked the FBI on parents who stood up for their children who were being basically mentally raped by the radical left and their transgender brown shirts. Oh, but Biden said first it was garbage, then he said it's not garbage. So in some ways, America today is in a worse place than the Weimar Republic was in the early 1920s when Hitler rose. Now, we're lucky that there is no Hitler in this country. Absolutely, there's none on the horizon. And there's unlikely to ever be a Hitler, thank God. But will there ever be someone who can marshal America to see its greatness, to see the wonders that America has done for the world, without catering to the radical black community, the radical Hispanic community, the black supremacists, the Hispanic supremacists? Is there anyone who could tell the world the truth? He asked himself, meaning I ask myself every day. Anyone who can marshal the people? Now, for 25, 6, 7 years, I wrote so many great books. One of them comes to mind right now, which is Scorched Earth, which is Restoring the Country After Obama. You can change the name Restoring the Country After Obama to Restoring the Country After Biden, but I don't know if there will be a nation after this administration is finished. I do not know whether the chaos that is Biden's legacy and the destruction that he is sowing can ever be stopped because of the vermin in the media like Anderson Cooper. And I use Anderson Cooper as the example of the worst tendencies of the American media. A fraud through and through, a shallow monster of a human being who pretends that he is thoughtful. And yet all he has is hatred for this nation and everything it stands for. If we had had a legitimate media, this would not be happening. The end of Western civilization is no longer a vision for enemies within and without. It is operational. They are doing it. The hateful policies of Joe Biden, I have seen them. The players are well known. The players who are filled with contempt for success and tradition, pandering to the manufactured cry of diversity in order to divide and erode this once great nation. And what is their goal? Is it equality? Is it equity? No, we have that. Those who can do, those who have anything to offer, succeed. but it is to consolidate power forever in their corrupt oligarchy. Just the other day, a black rapper created a riot in one of his so-called concerts, which I talked about earlier. I would not call it a concert. I would call it something else. And the idiots who go there basically have no brains, no minds, no souls. They're just sheeple jumping into a fire. But here's the interesting part. Despite the fact that the rapper was seen on tape in 2015 encouraging a crowd to beat up one of his attendees who tried to rob one of his dirty sneakers, saying, "Beat up that bitch," or "Beat the bitch up." It's on tape. Despite that, the newspapers are already in overdrive defending the black rapper for two reasons. A, he's black, and B, he's a rapper. But just 2 weeks before, Alec Baldwin, an old movie star, shot someone and killed him on a set. And what did the newspapers do, like USA Today? They went into overdrive with propaganda, trying to create sympathy for Alec Baldwin. The headline: "Those who kill even by accident are racked with pain." You hear this? Something like that. In other words, he's the victim now. This is how powerful the filth and garbage in Hollywood is. I have tried to warn you for years about the filth and garbage in Hollywood. They have tried to destroy me, and they have in many ways impeded me. But here I am. I'm still here. I'm still standing. And I will keep going until I am silenced completely. But the fact of the matter is, the filth and garbage and degenerates of Hollywood behind Alec Baldwin have tried to turn him into a victim. Just as the powerful filth at HBO and the powerful agencies that run these networks and run these concerts is now protecting this lowlife street rat, black rapper, from any culpability whatsoever. Again, blaming everyone, including the police, for what the black rapper did in inciting a riot and resulting in the deaths of eight people. Again, the media is so powerful, so all-powerful, that people do not even know which way to turn. And so today, the internet is down. Cable is down. TV is down. Cannot even see what they're selling today. But I feel what they're selling because I've lived with it for so long. And I've seen this filth rise to the point where I don't know if the nation can be saved. Do you people not understand that sometimes art imitates life and teaches us lessons? That's the universe we're living in now. Neville Chamberlain was not a wartime consigliere. Germany was on the move. Hitler was invading. Hitler had built up his military, even though they said he couldn't. That's China right now. And this weakling, Chamberlain, this good-natured weakling, the pacifist, socialist, intellectual, came back with an argument, an agreement that he couldn't wipe his nose with as far as Hitler was concerned. That was Chamberlain. Biden is worse than Chamberlain. Biden is not only like Chamberlain, but he's not a good-natured weakling. He's a bad-natured man, but he has taken upon himself the pacifist, socialist, intellectualism of Chamberlainism. Back in England, though, his own party got rid of that quisling English leader. That's the benefit of a parliamentary system. We don't have such a system here. We're stuck with this loser for 3.5 years, or worse yet, Pelosi, stooge Harris. Somewhere deep within the controlling elements of this government are those who actually run things. God only knows who they are. Why would they be doing this to us right now? I could probably give you a short list of those who I think are really running things, but I'm not completely sure who they are. But even they, at a certain point, recognize that a nation can be destroyed from within, and they've gone too far by putting this maniac in the White House. This maniac has broken free of their controls, just as others in history have done. Others who were first put into power by more powerful people before going rogue on them. It happened in Germany. It's not a direct comparison, but if you remember the history of Hitler, who I am talking about, if you read about him, he did not come to power on his own or in a vacuum. Very powerful industrialists backed him in the beginning. The Krupps, for example, who had been bankrupted after World War I, they were the main armaments manufacturer. They backed Hitler because they knew he'd be good for business. Dwight D. Eisenhower warned us to beware the government military-industrial complex. Remember that? The same elements are here in America. There are certain people who wanted Biden in. You know them. George Soros, John Kerry, Nancy Pelosi. They figured they could always control him. And now he's gotten so crazy and so senile that he's gone off the reservation. Now, a number of years ago, I wrote a book entitled Scorched Earth, which I have to quote from because I wrote about Biden in there in 2016. And you got to hear this. This is from 2016. I had a little thought about Biden, by the way. You know that he was not electable. His inane, off-the-cuff comments were deadly. They helped sink his own abortive campaigns. Mentally, he's not all there. Remember, I wrote this in 2016. Mentally, he's not all there. He was never going to step in during the 2016 election if grandma couldn't make it to the finish line. Do you want to know the only reason they're still warming him up in the bullpen? I cannot finish this without risking a great deal. But I had a shocking thought. It's that the rogue president has broken free of his handlers. That is an interesting statement. That's as far as I can go with that. That meaning Obama. The rogue president Obama has gone so far to the left that his handlers may need someone to keep the nation from going completely down the drain. Of course, God help us, if we've reached a point where Biden is a savior. That was in 2016. And here we are today in this year of our Lord, 2021, where Bernie Sanders, a naked communist, never fall for that crap of socialist, Democrat, there's no such thing. That loser, filth, bum has been a communist from the day he came out of his mother's fetid womb. And he has spawned millions of fools like Occasional Cortex and the so-called squid, who are worse than rotting squid on the bottom of a filth house floor. The squad are really dirty squid that's fallen down on the floor of a bad butcher shop. And yet they are dictating to this deranged administration which way the wind blows. I'll pause right now, as I've talked about the day the internet died, and my mind is more clear than ever. Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.